And on the line, I've got James Deer from Waikato Meditation. Good morning, James.
Kia ora, namaste, Aaron.
So you're going to be here on, where's my poster gone? You're going to be here this weekend, and you've got an event on in our town hall on the 9th of December. Do you just want to tell us what that event is about before we get into a deeper discussion?
Absolutely. So we have a yoga and kirtan event. So we have a yoga journey, which runs for approximately 2 hours, which involves pranayama, which is a series of breathing techniques which you use to bring your mind into a calm and relaxed space. Then we have yoga asana, so that's the physical component of yoga, followed by a guided relaxation with yoga nidra, which is runs through your entire body, relaxing each body part so that your entire physical body is completely relaxed. And then we do mantra breathing. So this is the use of transcendental or spiritual sound with breath, which has a really wonderful effect, bringing great calm and clarity, followed by kirtan, which is, again, using spiritual sound, except with instruments. We have a vegan meal, and then after that, we have an evening with the mantra band, which is going to be incredibly fun and uplifting. Kirtan's actually a really practical method of self-realization. So it's a spiritual practice, but it's super easy to engage in. It's not like most people think of meditation, a silent process, which is very difficult and arduous. It uses instruments. It's really fun. You can move around and dance, and particularly the mantra band is extremely. It's very unique because the traditional methods, people have ideas of what they think kirtan is going to be. If you come along and listen to the mantra band, they use contemporary music, and it's an extremely fun and uplifting experience. So, I highly recommend people to come and check out the mantra band. It's going to be really fun. Yeah.
Hey, James, the quality of the call is a little bit low. Are you on a speakerphone or anything like that?
No, I'm actually using headphones. I can use the phone if you like.
Yeah, that might be better. We're getting a bit of noise banging against the wire on the microphone wire, so.
On the phone now. Hopefully that's better.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. Yeah, so I must admit, this does sound like everyone's getting into that mode of rushing around before Christmas. Something that brings a bit of relaxation, just at that level, would be beneficial to people. But how? I mean, you said to me before that, when we were discussing things by email, that you have kind of your own personal journey that you went on that brought you to this, and I was wondering if you could tell us about that, because that might kind of illustrate just how, you know, the benefits.
I certainly did, yoga and meditation definitely would have been something that would have been on my radar. I grew up in England, as you can probably hear, and I always remember as a kid being kind of I really wanted a best friend, and I always experienced a lot of loneliness as a kid. And I also experienced a lot of bullying as well when I was, kind of teenage years. And I met a group of friends, and they, at a certain age, decided they were all going to start trying drugs. And that was something that I was not interested in doing. My mum had told me if I did drugs, I would die. So I was pretty scared of, of doing something like that.
Yeah.
But they all did it, and I kind of felt faced with the option: either I do what they do, or I go back to that space of loneliness that I was in before, and at risk of death, I decided that I was going to give that a go. So I tried them, and for a short period of time, it kind of solved all of my problems, all of the social anxieties that I had. It kind of gave me I became quite a popular person in the scene that I was in. And things got worse and worse because it had solved my problems temporarily. I just ended up doing more and more, and I actually found that I ended up being kind of worse than my friends that I tried them with, and I didn't really realize that I had a problem until I couldn't stop. I got into a situation where I became completely dependent on using drugs.
So the story is kind of that starts off great and then, but doesn't stay that way.
Absolutely, you know, it's just like a, you know, watching a movie. Basically, it started off and it was absolute, you know, it was absolutely euphoric. I was really self-medicating and solved all my problems, plus gave me, you know, all these great benefits for a while. But then, you know, what was a bright and vibrant picture started to lose its colour slowly over time. And, I became extremely... the thing was, like, it is, you know, being addicted to drugs is such a strange thing because of the ambivalence. You really want to stop, and you hate it, and simultaneously at the same time you want to keep doing it, and that desire to keep doing it is so strong. And it has a really strong psychological component and a really strong physical component as well.
Mm.
You know, you just, the way I described it is like having a scream stuck inside yourself. And as soon as you try to stop doing it, the scream gets louder and then the physical sensations get louder and the skin starts to scream. And it just forces you into using it again through, you know, complete desperation. So, also within the, it's not just the drugs, it's also everything that goes with it. It's the whole friendship circle and all the people that you know. And it's fundamentally, you build an identity within this environment, within this scene. So to leave it, and to stop doing it would mean, you know, that I would have to give up all of my friends and everything as well. And all of the raves and all the other things that, you know, I got myself into, that, you know. So it was very difficult to do that. And when I was 23 years old, so it was 10 years ago, my best friend committed suicide. So this for me was, you know, this was a really big, big thing to happen in my life. He'd been my, my foundation, my rocky ground, where I put all of my security for comfort. So when that happened, it kind of like felt like the floor was taken out from underneath me. And I think it was the first time I realized, man, I'm really going to have to do something about my life. Because this, you know, it wasn't the first time that this had happened in my friend group.
Yeah.
And I decided I'm going to leave England. I'm going to, you know, go on a bit of a mission to sort my life out. I think at that time it was more about survival. But I went to Australia, and I was there for 3 years. And my way of dealing with my problems was, I'm going to try doing all of the things that used to make me happy before I started doing drugs. So that would have been back to when I was, you know, kind of like a teenager. So I tried doing all the, you know, the skateboarding, the extreme sports, the, you know, I'd go and drink alcohol, and I just find that, I didn't really identify it at the time, but I was definitely depressed. And I had been, you know, developing anxiety, which was slowly getting worse. And I would comfort myself by eating a lot of food as well.
Yeah.
So this problem that I had, I'd got away from the drugs, but I'd still taken my mind with me on holiday.
Yeah, so right. You couldn't leave that behind.
And it was, you know, really surreal to be sat in paradise. I think I was on, you know, postcard beaches, sat there depressed, and I was like, there's something really wrong with this, you know, like, what's it all about? You know, the beaches, the palm trees, that's where the happiness is, and I was sat there when I wasn't.
James, can I ask if it was visible to people outside you at that time?
I would have said so, because I started getting quite irritable to my friends.
Right.
I started getting quite angry and having outbursts and I stopped being able to go to work at one point. And I think that was when the visa was running out in Australia. You know, the typical backpacker thing, and you want to stay and then you can't, and the visa's running out, and you just pretty much everything feels like it's falling to pieces. And I knew that if I had to go back to England, I wasn't fit. I was going back into the situation where, you know, like I'd had overdoses, I had really bad health problems, I had some really bad physical symptoms, and I knew that was going back to death, you know, so that was absolutely terrifying. And one of my friends said he's going over to New Zealand, and I was like, where's that? I didn't really know much about the place at the time. I'd heard of Queenstown because I was a,
right,
you know, quite an avid snowboarder. So yeah, I was keen to you know, just jump on a plane with my friend basically, and I came over. And as soon as I came over here, I absolutely loved the place. I loved the people. Everybody's so friendly. It definitely felt like home, and I really appreciated how people here really care about you and try to look after you. That started my... One of the things that happened when I got here is I just felt more like looking after myself, taking care of myself, which was something new to me at the time. And, I decided to stop drinking. And I decided I was going to do everything that my parents had told me to be happy, which was, you know, work hard, get a job, save some money, you know, have a stable relationship, get a car, you know, like, and then just do nice things, you know. That was going to be the answer.
Okay.
So then, yeah. So then I proceeded to do so, and I got everything in place. I got the job. I rented out a house. I had some flatmates. So I was living cheaply. I was living in a nice house. I had a car. Everything was in place. But then I found that I started to feel emptier than I'd ever felt, which was an absolute freak out for me. I started to binge eat. So I started eating so much because I felt so anxious. And that scream inside was still there, that scream that was stuck.
I misheard you saying that inner scream was still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was horrible because you could be lying in bed, which was the place where you should be comfortable, and feel most uncomfortable because you're realizing that the comfortable place couldn't be comfortable. You know, there was no answer to this, and the binge eating got so bad that I started eating. You know, I'd eat an obscene amount of, you know, I could eat a 14-inch pizza followed by a packet of biscuits, trying to numb out this this feeling. And then I started having to make myself sick so I could go to sleep, and I started realising I was developing an eating disorder. It's like the same thing was just moving around with the different different areas.
Just emerging in a different way.
Yeah, and I was so desperate, and it was at this point that one of my friends that I lived with said, "Would you like to go to a yoga and meditation retreat?" And I was just, you know, I was not really, but I'm desperate, you know.
Yeah.
I need a solution to this problem. At this point, I've been away from England for 6 years, and I'd craved drugs every single day. You know, like something clawing at the inside of my brain. It was daily that I was unhappy, and I knew that if I went back to that, I would instantly feel happy for a bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was the worst, but it was an overwhelming desire to go back and do that, to get on a flight, go back to England, and just jump straight back in where I left off. You know, regardless of the consequences. You don't think of the consequences when, you know, the immediate effect is so powerful that you have to have long-term things. You just think about the short-term effect.
So, but you didn't do that, I guess, because you're still here. James, we just had a really crazy noise from your phone. It's still a bit funny.
I have no idea why it's doing that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. That was the only time we had a loud squeak. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry about that. I remember when people would sing before school in the assembly, and I would not sing because I just thought, this isn't cool. You know?
Yeah.
So, I gave it a go, and over the course of, 4 days, I just started to, you know, I went through this process of completely forgetting about what people were thinking and the judgments, and fundamentally, I completely stopped thinking about anything, and I realized that I was just completely feeling fine, you know, I felt fantastic. And I came away from this weekend, and I heard the yoga philosophy, and I realized that it was the reason why I was suffering, because I was putting my personal enjoyment at number one, and I had all these big expectations, and I was just, everything was revolving around me and my personal desires, and I was constantly feeling frustration because what I want wasn't happening all the time. And yeah, it was quite an amazing experience. And over the course of the next year, I started to take this into my life quite seriously and built a daily practice around it. And as soon as I had a daily practice, my desire to use drugs, which had been there constantly, completely went away and has never come back since.
This story is kind of, it's kind of surprising. I think it's surprising to a lot of people. They would see, you know, meditation and yoga as beneficial, but you're describing a situation where you were obviously in a lot of pain, and it seems to have had quite a substantial effect on that. Were we maybe underestimating the power of yoga and meditation and things like that?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it was always something that I thought, it's going to be good for me. I don't know what it is. And I think, you know, a lot of people have the idea from maybe from Hollywood and what we've seen, that if you sit in silence, that it's somehow that we're going to, you know, just have some experience. But, I would find that I would try that and I wouldn't really get anything from it other than just like, what am I supposed to be doing here? You know, am I doing this right? But with the actual mantras, you have the spiritual sound there. It's really easy, and my experience has been that it's really powerful. You know, it's so powerful that it can solve a problem that nothing else that I tried could solve. You know, all the different ways that I tried to solve my addiction, fundamentally, when I engaged in this process, it just went. And one of the amazing things is, you know, we go to these, and you know, the mantra band particularly. You know, it's a band situation, so you go into something that's almost seems like a concert sometimes.
Right.
The mantra band is very much like that. No one's drinking. No one's thinking about alcohol. But I find that even, you know, if I go to a concert, I still get that thought, like, I should have a beer in my hand.
Yeah,
so
right.
I have to, like, I'll get a water, I'll drink a water, you know. Mm. But when I go to a kirtan, that's never there, because something is happening that is filling me up from that inside, you know, that void inside being filled, you know. So the thought for alcohol or drugs, it just doesn't come.
Hey, James, I'm still getting a couple of nasty squeaks that are blasting my eardrums. So what I'm going to do, I think we need to wrap this up. But we will remind people the time and place, and then we'll play something from the mantra band.
Yep, sounds good.
So,
apologies for the technical.
Yeah, I don't
challenges.
Know. I don't know what. I don't quite know what's happened there, but I guess you get that sometimes with technology. But so tell us time and place, and remind people what's happening.
Yep. So it's this Saturday, the 9th of December, at Raglan Town Hall. I encourage people to come and give it a go. I think you'll be surprised. It's a lot of fun. So we have a yoga journey. We get started at 4 o'clock. There's a vegan meal at 6, and the mantra band's beginning at 7:30. And please feel free to come and take part in any of those, any point of the night. You don't have to come for the whole day. You can just come for the yoga or just come for the kirtan.
Pop in and out.
If you want to find our, we're on Waikapo Meditation, on Facebook, or you can check out Meditation New Zealand's website at meditation.org.nz.
Okay, all right. And which track are we going to play? Did we decide?
we didn't really quite get there, did we? But yeah, if you just want to choose one, I'm sure that it will be fine.
Okay, I was hoping to get the one that was put into the ad that we had, but I think you were suggesting it potentially was track number 3. We're going to go for that.
We can go for that, and I'll send you the other one you can play for tomorrow.
Okay, all right. That'll be great. All right, thanks for your time this morning, James.
Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it.